You can hear our show on Stitcher Smart Radio. Stitcher allows you to listen to your favorite shows directly from your iPhone, Android phone, BlackBerry, or Palm phones. On demand and on the go. Don't have Stitcher? Download it for free today at Stitcher.com or in the app stores. Stitcher Smart Radio, the smarter way to listen to radio. Fan us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, or join in on the conversation on Google Plus.
Hello and welcome to Screen View episode 11. I am Peter Van. Along with me is John Denny and Amy Morgan.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello, everyone. How are you guys doing this week?
We're good. I'm good.
I'm good. It was a hectic beginning of the week, but
apparently we're all just having very rough weeks.
Yeah.
Apparently it's going. It's going around.
Mine's been compacted into basically today.
Right, yeah.
But, you know, hey, as long as I'm smiling before I go to bed, right?
Right, yeah. Because you don't want to be scowling when you go to bed. Cause
No. It might get stuck there, you know.
Right, exactly. Okay, so I guess the big thing that a lot of people have been talking about is the Dark Knight Rises prologue. Which you could start seeing it tomorrow with Mission Impossible 4, which is also called Ghost Protocol, which actually has been getting really good reviews. So why not go see it? This is a 6-minute prologue, which is very similar to The Dark Knight, which is just shows you some beginnings of the film, as long as with some montages and such things. General consensus is that it is good, and it centers around an airplane, like some sort of heist, like the previous film. But one of the biggest issues is you could not understand 70% of what Bane was saying.
Ooh.
Because of the way his character was? I mean, the costume was?
Yeah, they said the mask was, like, getting in the way.
Huh.
So I'm not sure if that's a... I mean, obviously, the film isn't coming out until next year. You got about 6 or 7 months. So they might just re-record everything. Who really knows? But that is the thing. So it was... there's a huge list on IMAX's website that will be posted in the show notes. You're just going to have to find one that has it. Not every single IMAX theater will have it, so.
I mean.
And it's only in IMAX?
Yes, only in IMAX.
Okay, that's good to know.
Not to be a jerk or anything, but do we really need to hype up The Dark Knight Rises? Are people going to forget about it, you know?
Well, I mean, I am going to forget it.
No, you're not. Shut up.
It's not interesting enough for me to go
see. It's like people are going to drop everything they're doing to go see that movie when it comes out, so.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. This is kind of gimmicky to me, but, you know, like I said last week, I saw the bank robbery scene for The Dark Knight when I saw I Am Legend. So, I mean, it was interesting to see, but looking back on it, it's kind of like, you know, whatever. You know, I could have done without seeing that because you see it in the movie anyway.
Right.
Yeah. Well, I hang around with enough fanboys that I will not be able to forget it, even if I wanted to.
Right, exactly. Obviously, they just, you know, it's a good way for them to, one, make a lot more money on IMAX. Two, more people will go see. We were talking about this last week. More people will go see Ghost Protocol, which...
Go ahead, I'm sorry.
Well, I'm just saying, like, in its own merits, I think we could have probably gone to see Ghost Protocol anyway.
But it sort of makes you think that the movie studio is kind of like, oh, crap, guys, what if this movie doesn't end up making any money? We should throw something Batman in there so people go to see it. You know what I mean? That's what it seems like to me.
Right, right. Yeah, I think I think it'll be fine. I mean, obviously, it's like a gimmick thing, make more money kind of thing. Actually, earlier this week, they were providing you free tickets to go see the 6-minute, you know, thing for free. And I didn't go because I would not drive half an hour just to watch 6 minutes of stuff. It's pretty far out there. That it's the only IMAX theater in my area that's actually showing the Dark Knight Rises prologue.
So you're not, it's not at every IMAX?
No, only at certain ones. So there's one, the one like I think that's in Philly is the Franklin Institute.
I'm sure it'll be at the King of Prussia IMAX.
Is that a real IMAX or is it fake IMAX?
I don't know how to answer that question.
Was the King of Prussia like theater? Was there always a theater at King of Prussia?
Yeah.
So they converted one of the old theaters to be the IMAX theater, and it's just like it's not the you know the really huge screens like the.
No, it's
like,
a huge screen.
But it's not ceiling.
The King of Prussia Mall is like the second largest mall in the country.
Yeah, but I don't
so
have
that whole area is constantly changing. So they can easily update.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, because near me they have an IMAX screen, but it's fake. Like at that theater at the mall, it's fake. It's not like the screen's not as big and everything, so
I don't know. That's where I saw I Am Legend at.
Ah, Diecast, who lives right outside Philadelphia. Thank you, Diecast, in the chat. King of Prussia is fake IMAX.
Nice.
Okay.
I'll have
at
to
least
find
we it. Have it confirmed.
Yeah, if my computer actually worked right now, I could show you.
I honestly never even knew that there was a fake IMAX and a real IMAX.
Yeah, it's huge. It's a huge difference. We can get back to that a little later.
Just real quick, is there a difference between like the way that the movie is played, or is it just the screen is not as big?
It's the screen is not as big, so the it's like I think it's like the sound is similar, so it's a really good sound, but the screen is not as big, and you're paying IMAX price for a fake.
Well,
IMAX.
I won't be.
Right. There's really we were talking about this last week. There's really no.
Yeah.
Point.
Yeah, I know.
Like as to why. All right. So, even though, despite the fact that Mission Impossible: Ghost Protocol, Girl with the Dragon Tattoo, Sherlock Holmes is coming out within the next couple weeks, and analysts are saying that it will be slow. It'll overall attendance is down, and box office will be flat this year. And I don't know if this one guy from Barclays, he said. Pretty much because they're all together that they will have less money between all of them.
Sure.
Really? Because you would spend
sure.
money to go see a movie regardless, right? So
a movie.
That's true.
That's the point. Like, you're going to say, it's Friday night, let's go to the movies. You're not going to go, I mean, maybe you will, but most people aren't going to say, let's go to the movies again tonight on Saturday night. You know what I mean? Or, you know, we just got out of seeing Sherlock Holmes 2. Let's go back in and say Mission Impossible 4. You know what I mean?
Mm.
It's kind of a logjam, especially towards the end of the year.
Yeah, I get that.
I mean, yeah. I get that obviously the Sherlock Holmes 2 is coming out now because the Sherlock Holmes, the first one, came out at this point 2 years ago. So it's sort of like a scheduled type thing. But this is also the time of year when a lot of movies are trying to, you know, be that last in everybody's minds for the Oscar push.
Mm.
So,
yeah.
You get all these movies that people want to see because they think they're going to win the Best Picture Oscar. And then you get the action movies that are coming out now because the kids are going to be out of school for, you know, a week or a week and a half or whatever. So, it's a logjam. I mean, there's not much else to say about it, but, I mean, too many... I guess on the plus side for the audience, it's like, oh, we got all these great movies to go see. You know, I have all these options, you know? But on the other side, it's like, you know, the movie studio side, it's like, they got to go see our movie or it's not worth putting out. You know what I mean?
Right.
So, I don't know. It's good for the audience because you get competition and really good movies, but, you know, it's better for them because they're not making money off of it.
All right, well, despite the fact that last week was one of the slowest weekends of the year, this week decided to go even slower. So, New Year's Eve was the top film, and it only made, $13 million, I think it was?
It won by default.
It won by default. It was, the only one that actually had people in it. I'm just kidding. it only made $13 million. A new film called The Sitter with the last Jonah Hill fat era. Did not get very good reviews, so only made $9.8 million. Twilight is third. Muppets is fourth. And Arthur Christmas is fifth.
I bet Arthur Christmas is going to make a lot during Christmas.
Yeah, it's kind of weird that they called it Arthur Christmas and released that Thanksgiving. I guess they just wanted to make as much money as possible through the holiday.
We're going
to
go see it for Christmas, so awesome. I wonder how many other people are going to think the same thing. So I'm wondering if it'll still be up there in, 2 weeks?
Yeah, why not? I would see it. Why not?
That's kind of cute.
Especially with kids. Yeah, especially with kids and stuff. And it's been getting really good reviews. It's one of the best reviews, one of the best reviewed films of the year, so...
Oh, well, that's good.
Yeah, I think you were going to have
a lot. Gives me hope.
If you go. Yeah. Coming up. Coming out this week is Alvin and the Chipmunks Shipwrecked, which will be a blockbuster, I am sure.
The other two
were. I haven't seen the other two, so.
Yeah, the other two were. Yeah, crazily enough.
I'm shocked. Honestly am. I thought the chipmunks died with the cartoon, but apparently
nope. It's kind of like it's like wow, a lot of people splurged on this movie. But I guess it's kind of like those in the holidays. You know, kids are bored; they don't have to go to school, so you're like, I will need to take these guys somewhere, or I will shoot myself. Does that sound about right, Amy?
Yes, that sounds absolutely accurate.
Yeah. And Ender, who is in the chat, said chipmunks equals money. So cash money. Lots of cash money.
Yeah. We still play chipmunk music here. I've been listening to it my whole life.
The only chipmunk music I know is the Christmas song, the chipmunks do.
So. Oh, man, that's there are lots. Right. There's chipmunk.
Oh, I know,
Urban chipmunk. There's
urban. Wait, did you say urban chipmunk?
Yeah. Chipmunk songs based off of urban music.
Rock and roll.
Woohoo!
Oh, wow. All right. I did not know the existence of this.
They've got some really good ones, man.
coming out tomorrow as well is Sherlock Holmes Game of Shadows, which it's been okay. Reviews have been okay so far. And then Mission Impossible Ghost Protocol, of course, is also coming out.
Nice.
It does not come out tomorrow. Only in IMAX does it come out tomorrow. It will come out on the 21st, I think.
That's weird.
What's that?
That's weird.
Well, it's because it's like Christmas or whatever. Or is it the 23rd? It might be the 23rd.
So it's only coming out in IMAX this weekend?
Yes. You get to see it 5 days in advance. So that's what? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Yeah, the 21st comes out.
How much more is a ticket for IMAX? Like $30?
No, it's not that bad. It's like 18 bucks or something like that.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah, it's kind of ridiculous. It is, if you see it in real IMAX, it's totally worth it.
Apparently I never will.
Apparently you never will, because you can't find a real one.
Well, I'm not going to Franklin Mills.
Institute.
Whatever.
What do you mean, whatever? It's not the same!
I hate driving in the city anymore.
Yeah, well, me both.
So, and actually, I don't like going to King of Prussia either. So.
All right. Anyway, I don't know if you guys have seen this, but G.I. Joe 2, aka Retaliation, is out. The trailer.
I saw it. I thought it was pretty cool.
John, have you seen this?
I did not see the trailer, but I am excited for it because I really enjoyed the G.I. Joe movie.
You enjoyed the first one?
I did.
I thought it wasn't too bad. It was meh.
It was better than Transformers, so I was really, really excited for that.
I totally agree with you. Yes.
I saw it like months later. I think I saw it like about 6 or 7 months later. So I watched it when it was out on DVD, and I thought it was meh.
I went and saw Transformers. At the end of the month, I went and saw G.I. Joe. I came out upset because Transformers was that bad that G.I. Joe looked really good.
Yeah, but G.I. Joe was more of a flop for Hasbro than anything. It actually made less movie.
Yes, but it had a plot. It had a plot. Revenge of the Fallen had no plot.
It had a pretty good... a pretty decent cast too. I mean, no one.
Yeah.
It wasn't like one person was the anchor of the show.
Yeah. Yeah. There were several people, and they're
scrapping that. They're getting rid of that.
Really?
The only people that they're keeping are Duke, Storm Shadow, and the Korean one. Storm Shadow and Snake Eyes. They're keeping those guys, and then they're introducing.
No Marlon Wayans?
No. Only the three, and then they're introducing Lady J, Roadblock, who's played by a massive, like, steroided up Dwayne Johnson. And then Bruce Willis is like the original G.I. Joe or something like that. So.
And they're also going to have Jinx in there too.
Yeah, they're going to have I think they're just putting more people like into the film, but they're kicking everybody else out that was in the original. I don't really know why.
Money.
Yeah. And Joseph Gordon-Levitt is not going to be in it either, which is fine because he was, I don't know, he's a good actor, but I don't think that was really a good, interesting role for him. Let's see. The Expendables is also out in the trailer. It's like a teaser trailer. So that's always...
What is a teaser trailer? Oh, The Expendables?
The Expendables, yeah. I don't know. I mean, the first movie was good, but...
I don't see the need for a second one.
Yeah, I mean, Dolph Lundgren's dead, right? So you gotta... Can't do this.
Yeah. I enjoyed the first one. But...
Yeah.
Like I said, I mean, I get they can carry on the story because they're mercenaries or whatever, so they can do whatever with plot-wise, but I thought it was decent enough to be one and done.
Yeah. As you all know, it is award show season, so several awards company thingies have come out. SAG Awards, the Screen Actor Guild Awards, are out. Films that were announced as the best film are nominated for the best film. I can't talk. I'm so sorry.
Who votes on the Screen Actors Guild? Like, who decides who gets nominated? Is it the actors, or is they hire people that choose who gets nominated? Because I know that technically the actors vote on who wins the awards, right?
Yeah.
Who decided who gets nominated?
I never understood
that award ceremony because that's them essentially patting themselves on the back.
Right. Yeah. Pretty much. They're like,
"Hey, good job
for me."
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. I think it's actually like a collective of them. Like, it's kind of like a write-in vote. I think where they all just say, "Oh, this is a good movie, and that's a good movie." And you kind of like humbly don't vote for yourself, I guess.
Yeah, sure. I mean, on the other side, if you ever watch the SAG Awards, it's kind of like laid back. They don't take themselves very seriously, so it's...
Yeah, they kind of joke around, yeah.
Yeah, it's a little more fun.
I would be able to give you an answer, but my computer froze.
That's all right.
Fantastic. Oh my god. This computer has lost its mind.
Oh my god,
I can't even concentrate. So the films that were nominated include The Help, The Artist, Knobs, Descendants, J. Edgar, Moneyball, and Marilyn.
My Weekend with Marilyn?
Yeah.
Bridesmaid?
I'm sorry, not My Weekend with Marilyn, nor Moneyball.
What list are you reading from?
The SAG one. Goodness gracious. So The Help got four nominations. The Artist got three nominations. Knobs, Descendants, J. Edgar, Moneyball, and Marilyn picked up two nominations. For the film with the best film, The Help, Bridesmaids, The Artist, Midnight in Paris, which is a Woody Allen film, which kind of came in and faded away, and The Descendants.
I'm surprised that Bridesmaids, I mean, like I said, it's a Screen Actors Guild, so it's not taken very seriously, but I'm surprised that Bridesmaids is getting a nomination for Best Movie of the Year.
Hmm.
Yeah, well, apparently...
I never saw that one.
A lot of people liked it, so...
I guess.
You're one of the few who didn't, so...
I know.
Let's see. So, a couple people that... So, the female best actresses include Viola Davis for The Help, Meryl Streep for The Iron Lady, Tilda Swinton for We Need to Talk About Kevin, Michelle Williams for My Week with Marilyn, and Glenn Close for Albert Nobbs.
So, three Oscar winners already? Up for
yeah.
that?
Yep.
Viola Davis, Meryl like Streep, and Tilda Swinton.
Yep.
What did Tilda Swinton win for?
Michael
Clayton.
Michael Clayton.
And then,
the I almost said Michael Collins is a totally different movie.
Michael, what? That was actually a movie?
Yeah, it's about the Irish Revolution. Ah. Liam Neeson. It's pretty good. You should watch it.
Nice.
Let's see. the leading men that were nominated. This is kind of weird. J. Edgar's Army Hammer. For some reason, Leonardo DiCaprio was in. Considered a leading man.
Who did he play in that movie?
Joined by their co-stars in the supporting category. Oh, these are supporting categories.
That makes more sense.
Yeah, that makes way more sense. Okay, so on the TV side, Modern Family.
I know his name. He was in Social Network, Army Hammer. He was the twins.
Oh, he was the guy who played. He was the one guy who played the twins.
Yeah.
All right. So on the TV side, Modern Family got 5 nominations. 30 Rock and Dexter got 3. Boardwalk Empire, Breaking Bad, Game of Thrones, The Good Wife, The Office, Too Big to Fail, and Mildred Pierce all got 2. Modern Family got it's crazy. HBO got 11 nominations just with them.
That's typical for HBO.
Yeah, HBO gets a lot of awards. NBC got 6, but Modern Family itself got 5, so that's kind of ridiculous.
NBC got 6 nominations, but they can't keep any shows on their schedule.
Right. Well, it's because Alec Baldwin. Baldwin, Steve Carell, Tina Fey and stuff like that.
So The Office and 30 Rock, yeah. What is Too Big to Fail? I must have missed that.
Too Big to Fail was a PBS show.
Oh, okay.
It was, I believe it was a PBS special. Let's see here. All right, so it was a lot of gibberish. Those would be linked to the show notes. You can read them at your own leisure. The Golden Globes are also out. So for the Best Motion Picture, once again, The Descendants, The Help, Hugo. Oh, that's a new one. Hugo, The Ides of March. Wow, 2 George Clooney films nominated for Best Motion Picture for the Golden Globes. Moneyball and War Horse, which we will talk about.
Yeah, I don't know what to think about this list of best motion picture.
I don't know.
Yet. Because, I mean, usually this is the foreshadowing for the Oscars, the Golden Globes.
But the Oscars has 10.
They go by who they think is going to win the Oscar by who wins the Golden Globe. You know what I mean?
Which is weird.
The Oscar doesn't need 10, but that's a topic for another show.
Yeah, that was a new thing that just came out a couple years ago. So,
yeah,
not without controversy. Okay. So Glenn Close, Viola Davis, Rooney Mara for the girl with the dragon tattoo, and Meryl Streep and Tilda Swinton. And then the best actor is George Clooney, Leonardo DiCaprio for J. Edgar, Michael Fassbender, who's in 6 movies this year or something like that.
Yeah.
For his movie Shame, which is actually the first NC-17 film to be nominated, I think.
Oh, wow.
It was NC-17
film. Maybe I should go see that.
And it wasn't panned. You know, so interesting. Ryan Gosling for The Ides of March and Brad Pitt for Moneyball.
I have a feeling that this is DiCaprio's year.
You would like it, but who knows? I mean, like.
Well, like, it seems like. I know, this is, like I said, this isn't the Oscars, but it's usually a foreshadowing, but they don't give it to them when they're deserving, if that makes sense.
Oh, that's messed up.
And they give it to them for, like, a lesser role or thing that they did later on in their career.
Like Martin Scorsese.
In all honesty, there's no reason that Martin Scorsese should not have won Best Director for Goodfellas in 1990.
Or any of his other great movies.
And they finally, like, relented and gave him an Oscar for The Departed, which is a good movie, it's not one of his best movies.
It's not what he should have won it for.
Right. So, I mean, I think that this is a year that DiCaprio is going to win, you know, Golden Globe, Oscar, whatever, for J. Edgar.
Yeah, well, they were saying that was, like, his... He was, like, the defining thing for that film.
Right, right, right.
Like, other things were kind of, like, mediocre, and then he was, like, a big standout for that, so...
Cool.
All right, so the best director for a motion picture is Woody Allen. Nominee Woody Allen, George Clooney, Alexander Payne for The Descendants.
You skipped the name.
Yeah, Mike.
Yeah, because it's a really wonderful name to say, right? Wow.
He's obviously French, I think. I think the artist was a silent French film.
Asvana Vicious.
Yeah, I don't know.
Does that sound right?
Yeah. We'll go with that.
Asvana Vicious. There you go. The dude with a long back end of the name, right?
Yeah. Right. Yeah, the guy with the really long name.
The guy with the really long name, yeah.
Television series, Boardwalk Empire, Boss, Game of Thrones, Homeland, and American Horror Story. Okay, so that is a really long list. We will continue. We'll also link that to the show notes, and you can read that at your own leisure. And I guess now is we will jump right into the review section.
Cool.
Can we just... Did you mention that Makeover Home Edition got canceled? I know we're all heartbroken.
Yeah, well, I'm really heartbroken. I actually didn't want to talk about it because
it broke your heart.
It breaks my heart.
I'm so broke up over it.
Every Sunday, I look forward to Ty Pennington screaming like Oprah into a megaphone.
Ugly
Ty Pennington,
face.
Every year for the Home and Garden show in Philadelphia, he would come into the bar I worked at when I was in college and walk around and introduce himself to people.
Really?
Yes. Hi, I'm Ty Pennington. I'm on Most Extreme Home Makeover. Whatever it was called. And it's like, I don't care who you are. Like, I'm trying to work. Stop bothering me. He's like so past famous that like people don't care about him anymore.
Yeah.
And he was trying to be relevant in this bar in Center City, Philadelphia. So, good for you. Your show got canceled.
Well, they're still going to have specials. So once in a while, they'll do Extreme Makeover Home Edition, the special. Or something.
They moved over this home in Northeast Philadelphia, and it sticks out like a sore thumb every time you drive by it.
That's right. Does it actually work? Because I think there were some things like that, because they only did it in a week, that most of the places don't actually even the water.
The house itself is fine, but every other house around it is like a small like ranch house, and this house is like a mini mansion. It's ridiculous.
Fun times. All right, so this week we are going to each pick a film that we saw recently. It doesn't have to be new. It doesn't have to be new. It doesn't have to be old.
Yeah, that doesn't make any sense. It has to be just perfect.
Terrible. it is like the Goldilocks film. So each one of us will pick a film and we will review it. Yesterday, I attended a screening for War Horse.
Nice. Did you like it?
I went in with extremely low expectations because I was like, who's going to watch a film about a horse? But I was wrong. It was... I had very low expectations, and I came out quite pleased. And surprisingly, it was heartfelt, which I guess I don't know if I should be really that surprised. This is a Spielberg movie, and it's like an inspiring film, so I guess it...
Did you cry?
I did not cry, but the lady who sat next to me went through an entire bag of tissues. Yeah, I actually don't cry in films. If people, you know how like a lot of people were saying last year or a couple years ago, if you didn't cry at the end of Toy Story 3, you didn't.
You're a monster. Yeah.
You are a monster. Yeah. I did not shed a single tear.
I got choked up.
I didn't even feel well up. Like, I think the beginning of Up was worse for me than. The ending of Toy Story.
I was expecting my first when Finding Nemo came out, and 5 minutes into the show, I was gushing.
Yeah. I think you and my girlfriend would be very good movie watching mates because she just bawls at every single thing that could possibly take place. I don't think she could see the end of Toy Story 3 because she was just crying so much.
Aww.
So, yeah, a lot of people cried. This one lady was so freaked out about this one specific scene in War Horse that she was, like, flopping around in her chair. She was just like, oh, no, oh, my God.
No.
There are definitely, but I think the best part about the film was that there were definitely tearjerker moments for people to cry at films. In the next scene, pretty much, not even the next scene, like a couple of lines down in the dialogue later, everybody was laughing. So he did really, really well. You know, as always, John Williams scores pretty much all or most of Steven Spielberg's films.
Did he do the whole movie?
He did.
I thought I heard something about there being some kind of conflict, but I didn't know if it was that or a different movie.
No, I don't think so, because I was talking to I was actually listening to an interview session that he had with Spielberg, and he said pretty much for 40 years he just...
Right.
He gives John Williams, he's like, here, John, take a look at this movie, like an advanced screening, and then he goes off for like a couple months, and then he figures stuff out, and then he plays it, and he loves it. So it was really good. The score was done well. You know, John Williams is always good to hear. So the interesting thing was that since it was about War Horse, it always focused on the horse and the way it intersected through all of the people that were in the movie. So it went from a family of farmers to the cavalry to the French to the Germans and back to the British. So it was interesting to see, like, even though, you know, it was during World War I and everybody was fighting each other and everything, the horse was able to bring them all. Out of, you know, bring the best of them all. I think it was a really... I think it was well acted. Most of the main British actor is a relatively unknown stage actor from Britain. And then there are some, you know, well-knowns as well in, like, other parts. Actually, the one that I was interested about was the captain in the cavalry. He didn't look like it at all. He was actually like a really nice guy. He played really well, and he played Loki in Thor.
Oh yeah.
Oh good.
And I was like, wow, I didn't expect that. But that was really pretty interesting. So I think it was well directed. It was well shot. It was interesting because like when it was happy parts, the non-war periods, it was they shot it mostly in like the wide open fields. Out in Britain and Scotland and stuff like that. And then everything was like during the war periods, everything was muted, even though it was like happy triumphant times, it was still pretty muted until the war pretty much ended. So yeah, I was pretty surprised. I liked it a lot. More than I thought I would. So I don't know if it's like, I guess it could be an Oscar contender because they Spielberg, and it also came out like so close to Oscar time, but
I think that they were holding on for that to be an Oscar contender. That's why they released it so late.
Yeah, I mean, it's a good film. I don't know if it could be placed above other ones, but yeah. Okay, so John, what film will you be talking about this week?
Last week, I think it was, I saw from Netflix Crazy Stupid Love. And I didn't know what to think about it because it seemed like a stupid, like, romantic comedy and, like, you know, quirkiness. Everybody's quirky, and then there's, like, the, you know, whatever, the guy who knows everything and the other guy who doesn't know anything, and they become, you know, best friends. But I actually really enjoyed it, and it was really funny. You know, Steve Carell, he gets it done. He's a good actor. He makes you laugh. Ryan Gosling is in it, and I don't think that I've ever seen anything with him in it, except for, like, the last 15 minutes of The Notebook. Maybe. I guess. I don't know. You know, everybody's story kind of intertwines, and everyone, you know, everyone teaches each other a lesson.
It's like a fresh love story.
Yeah, but it's not like it's not a romantic comedy, because it's certainly not like a happy-go-lucky type thing. Everyone, you know, is happy at the end of it. It's not that type of story at all. You know, it's definitely drama, definitely comedy. So, you know, it's hard for me to watch those movies because I tend to not care about the characters all that much.
Yeah.
But they sort of suck you in with, you know, Steve Carell is sort of out in his luck because his wife decided to divorce him, so he doesn't know how to be out in the real world anymore. Not necessarily looking for a date, but just, you know, socializing in general. Mm-hmm. And he just sits at a bar and drunkenly talks about how his wife left him. And it's so good and so funny. Emma Stone, mm-hmm. isn't it, I think, is her name?
Yeah,
Emma Stone. She was in, so she's going to be in the next Spider-Man movie, I guess. Mm-hmm. And she's really good in it. There's a couple twists in the movie that you don't necessarily see coming. I kind of figured it out on my own. But
good for you.
Yeah. That's the kind of movie watcher I am. Definitely something to watch if, you know, I didn't watch it with my wife. She had watched it with her parents over the weekend. I sort of just watched it by myself, and I don't know. It's
what?
Not one thing. Yeah.
That's kind of weird. I didn't expect that, for sure.
I don't know. She got it from Netflix, and it was sitting on our table for a while, and she said, I'm going to my parents' house this weekend. We're going to watch this movie. And I said, all right, whatever. And then she said, do you want to watch it? And I was like, you know what? Yeah, bring it back. I'll watch it. So she was working late one night, and I popped it in and watched the whole thing. And it was, you know, like I said, it was really good and funny. And, you know, it wasn't drama to the point where you're crying or anything like that, but it's drama to the point where you could see it's a real-life situation. So definitely, I would say definitely watch it.
Okay.
If you had the chance.
So, Crazy Stupid Love. I'm surprised that I was actually in theater, on DVD already, the movie.
Yeah, I think around this time, they tend to push movies on a DVD quicker, you know.
Yeah. Do you guys remember when it was like VHS and it would just take...
Yeah, it's like 6 months.
Take forever. And the worst was, I remember... in the theaters, and I had to wait for the longest time for that movie to come out in VHS. And then when it did, that stupid rental place would keep running out of the DVD, like the VHS tape.
West Coast.
So I'd have to consistently wait, and then I finally got it, and I was happy.
What?
But you know.
It's not like. It never really took all that long to get a movie on from a reel-to-reel to a VHS, and it doesn't take all that long for it to be put on DVD for mass production either.
Yeah.
But for some reason, when the Jim Carrey Christmas Carol movie came out on DVD, it was like a year after it came out in theaters. And I can't understand why they would wait that long. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
The movies. Ominous Day, they hold all the power, so when these movies get released and when they're going to be put on DVD, so...
Yeah, I mean, movies had more staying power as well, right? They ran for a little longer than they do
sure.
now.
Oh, yeah.
So, now they're just, like, in and out in, like, 10 weeks or whatever, so...
I mean, there. I think one of the James Bond movies has the record for longest movie in theaters. It was like 38 weeks or something like that.
Wow.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you, John. Amy, what about you? Do you have a film that you would like to share with us that you saw recently?
I am going to pick one that I was not thrilled to go see, but I went and saw it. my kids wanted to see Happy Feet, too. I was not a fan of the first one. I mean, sure, it was great. Okay, animation with penguins that sing and dance. Okay, that sounds great. Then I went and saw part two, and you get a lot of the same stuff all over again. And you know what? It was a little slow.
Is it like The Hangover 2, but for kids?
Yeah, it totally is The Hangover 2 for kids.
Where they just retread the first movie and...
Well, they did different things this time. Like, they had, like, there was a new problem, but it was basically, you know, the same. Where, you know, they try to get humans to help, and then they try to... But they got all of the animals involved this time.
Oh, that's good.
So, other animals came and helped them. And even the little brine shrimp helped.
The what?
Which... There was these little shrimp, these little brine shrimp that were like, you know, kelp or whatever. I don't know what they're called. But krill. Sorry, krill. My husband's krill. Yelling in the other room.
Krill. Is that what he's doing over there?
Yeah.
Krill.
Yeah, he's like, krill. It was krill.
Kelp's plants.
They were probably the best part of it. And it was all voiced by one person, Matt Damon, talking to Matt Damon. It was great. They did the...
Matt.
They rickrolled the audience.
Oh, no.
Yeah, they totally did. I mean, he
and
rickrolled
none of the
himself,
kids understood it.
No, they had no idea. I'm just sitting here going, oh, my gosh, they just rickrolled us. And my kids are like, oh, what? And I was like, no,
what's
really.
What's a rick just...
Wait. Gosh. I'm a little slow right now. What do you mean by that? What happened?
No, okay. Tell me you don't know what a rickroll is, Peter.
I know what a rickroll is, but I don't know how Matt Damon filters into this.
Okay, well, Matt Damon played the voice of the krill. There was two of them. It was like Bill and Gil or something like that. Okay. And he pretty much, like, you know, talked to himself the whole time because it was his voice with the other krill with his voice. And it was like, you know, anyhow, it was his part was probably the most comedic because it's a krill who got in his head that he could force evolution. And he's trying to make himself, like, evolve into a predator.
That's the way it works.
I know. But it was completely preposterous to the point of it was just funny. It was just funny. And so, yeah, Matt Damon, he plays, like, this krill, and he voices both of them.
No, he
so
doesn't.
Yes, he did.
Will the krill. Matt Damon did Bill the krill.
Oh, no.
Who did Rick?
Okay, great. Now I have my husband jumping in here.
Wait, who
tell
did
me
the
no,
other one?
Give him a microphone.
Wait, who did the other one?
Brad Pitt.
No
it
way.
It sounded the same to me. I'm
That's
sorry.
Funny. This is crazy. This is getting... this is actually more insane than Muppet's Christmas Carol.
This is a more intricate plot than Inception.
Yeah, I know. This is getting a...
Well, the whole plot
here.
Was basically... The penguin community is in this little alcove or whatever you call it, where they live down in this ice area. And a big iceberg that's like huge, like continent sized, gets broken off and it comes right at like where they're able to get out and get fish and water and all of that stuff and swim away. That's where the iceberg crushes into the iceberg that they're on, and so they're basically trapped. They can't get out. And so there's a few of them that did get out because in the last movie we were introduced to a character named Mumble, and he has kids in this one, and he has to go because his kid decided to run away because he's not as awesome as his dad and he can't sing like everybody else, and basically the same thing. You know, he's outed because he's a poor little fluff ball that can't do anything.
It's
which, I mean,
No, go ahead.
That's almost like the first movie all over again.
It's not voiced by Shia LaBeouf this time, though, right?
Oh, no, I don't think so.
Oh, okay.
No, it didn't sound like Shia LaBeouf. Anyhow, so, yes, Ender in the chat room, we are talking about Crappy Feet 2.
Crappy Feet 2. Fantastic.
Well, so Bubble goes out to get his kid, and when he's out, they come back, and in the meantime, while they're being gone, that's where the iceberg, you know, traps their people, and then they can't get in. So then that's basically the whole plot, is that they're trying to find a way to get all of the other penguins out before they start starving, and, oh, yes, it was very dark at that point. They do get everybody out. Everybody has to help, and different creatures do different things, and they're able to find a way to get out. And then the movie, at the very end, they get them out, and then it ends. So it's like there's no, like, you know, after all that, we're going to have, like, a moral to the story. It was like, no, we got them out. Okay, we're good to go.
Right on the climax?
And, you know, that was it. There was, you know, it was just kind of like, oh, the climax was they get to climb out, and then that's the end. You know, I was like, oh, okay.
They all danced, right?
Well, yeah, they were dancing and singing all.
How long was the movie? That's my guess.
You know what? It was 117 minutes. It was 2 hours.
Wow.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
That's a lot of stuck in ice time.
Really like music, and you really like seeing dancing penguins, and you have kids that like all of those things, I would definitely say go take it. You know, for your kids, but also remember that you're probably going to be sitting down to a 2-hour reason for save the planet with a little bit of funny.
Gotta hook them young.
They not only that is they rickrolled the audience, and they played the Numa Numa song as well. So you know, there you go.
No, they didn't.
They totally did.
This movie sounds more and more ridiculous as time goes on.
Wait, what is Numa Numa?
Okay, look it up on YouTube.
This guy.
It's this kid.
Oh, yeah, okay.
The Numa Numa song.
Right.
You'll know.
Did that. That's right.
It's a good thing you did that because I don't... Like, I tend to catch up on these things when I'm at, like, when I was at my old job, but I wouldn't play the sound, so I know the dance. I don't know.
So you were watching, like... famous YouTube clips
I wasn't just going around YouTube clips. It was like people writing. I read crack.com a lot, and they write articles about, you know, internet things.
Okay. All right.
So yeah,
I know
that was Happy Feet too. It's like music on steroids. You must be really, really sugar hyped up to get it, and you know, chipper, happy.
Things you do for your kids.
The things that you do for your kids, exactly. If it would have been my choice, we would have gone to see Hugo, which I thought
would have dragged them to J. Edgar.
Yeah.
Drag him to shame.
Yeah. Drag him to shame.
yeah, that's yeah.
The next one that we're going to go see is either Hugo or Arthur Christmas, so.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. And then there's another one coming out soon by Steven Spielberg, also called The Adventures of Tintin.
Oh, I've heard things about that one, too.
The most racist comic book ever.
Uh-oh.
I'm sure they edited it all out, though.
You know, Tintin was actually a real dog.
What?
Tintin was
Was.
Yeah, Tintin was a real dog from World War I, from like the 1918 or something. And actually, Susan Olivier...
But Tintin is not a dog in the Steven Spielberg movie.
It's not? Oh, it's a different Tintin.
It's a person.
Oops. Well, what if the dog became a person? Is that part of
no.
the stuff? Oh. All right, well, since apparently this Thursday is the worst Thursday we've ever had, we will... I think we will call this a show. I deeply apologize for being a... for having a very off show today. I promise we will be back next week to have a much better show. So for this week, Amy Morgan, John Denny, I am Peter Van, and again, I'm sorry. All right, guys, have a good night.
Have a good one.
been listening to Screen View. Screen View is a Radio Free Cybertron production. Visit us at tfradio.net for show notes and to subscribe to the podcast. Follow us on Twitter at TF Radio for news and updates. Watch our live stream at tfradio.net/live. Join our Facebook fan page at facebook.com/TF Radio. Subscribe to our YouTube channel, TF Radio Network. Have a question or comment? Leave it on our Facebook fan page or mail it to contact@tfradio.net. Copyright 2011, Radio Free Cybertron.